And welcome to our feature today. And of course, one of the last week up in Bloomington was the Illinois Farm Bureau's Farm Income and Innovations Conference. Used to call it the Commodity Conference that they held in July every year. Of course, we try to still think of it as that. But again, one of the people we were able to sit and visit with was KJ Johnson. He's the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Dealers Association. And of course, big topic up there in out in the hallways, farmers talking, were stories about some of the issues that are showing up as it relates to dicamba and some of the damage to beans. So we asked KJ Johnson, were they getting calls in regard to that issue?
We're having a lot of calls. We're just taking calls just from retailers and farmers, just saying, you know, what's the basics, and or just what's going on out there. And it's all over the range. I mean, we're getting a lot more calls from southern Illinois or the belt of Illinois, not as much the northern part of Illinois. But just there's a lot of just questions, you know, what do we do if we do see symptoms of a dicamba stuff? And we're trying to give educational stuff to people to say, here's what you do. You really do need to make a formal complaint with the Department of Ag, get that registered, and just talking to them all the way through. But, you know, some of this, I think we're going to have to wait till fall and see what actual damage there actually is, yield damage out there.
So before I go further on that, let me ask this as kind of the Director of Legislative for the Fertilizer and Chemical Association. Have you gotten any questions yet from any of our state lawmakers?
We've had a couple calls. We're in contact with them. Some saying, hey, I had a couple farmers call me on this. Other ones, hey, read this. What's out of Arkansas, Missouri? What's going on here in Illinois? And we're just giving briefings to those people. We were down in Springfield yesterday talking to people about it too, just staffers and stuff, just saying, here's what's out here. Here's what is actually some facts about stuff. Here's some misnomers, but just kind of educating people when they do get a call saying, hey, I see this. I get burnt leaves. Is that dicamba? No, that's going to be more of a puckering of a leaf, stuff like that. Because we have had a lot of that call. I had a call this morning before I got on with you, Roger, of, well, I got this symptoms. What might be? And I said, you need to talk to your guns, but it's not what you think it is. So just trying to educate people what the symptoms are, what they're seeing. And what I do try and tell people is, you know, people say, well, a farmer sprayed next to me, and I think I got dicamba damage. Well, dicamba damage is not going to be seen for probably 2 to 3 weeks after it's sprayed, when the new leaves come on. So we're just trying to educate people about that, where might come about symptoms and stuff like that.
So I guess that really kind of puts your association looking forward in between a rock and a hard place, because we know that the resistant weed issue out there, a lot of producers want it. It's probably good for a lot of the retailers to be able to offer that product. But then there's the other side of how much damage. What from your organization, any idea yet as to where the retailers are going to come down on which way they'd like to see us go forward?
I think every retailer's got a different opinion on what they think suits them best. I really do. I mean, to say there's a blanket that everybody's going to go this way, I can say that we get different calls, and it might be one after another. One say, I'm fully dicamba, or I'm fully Liberty, or I'm a mixed bag of a little bit of both. So I think everybody is in the same boat. I think what we have to do is we just have to tell them and educate farmers and retailers, both sides, what you have to do, you know. We have to do the buffer. You have to follow the label of it. But then there might be some other stuff we might have to do with the label. Maybe it might not be on the label, but here's the extra stuff we have to do on stuff. You have to follow the tip recommendations, the buffers, the tank mixing. There has to be the only stuff that is approved for tank mixing. This is not like it's been before. Well, we can add a little more or ammonium sulfate or something like that to get a better burn on stuff. With dicamba, you really have to follow label. And I'll tell you, one instance that we are seeing is the tank clean out. With the new spray center that we just opened here in June, there'll be a heavily emphasizing on tank clean out and proper tank clean out of stuff. And in some cases, there might have to be where this one machine is just going to be dicamba. this one truck that's loaded in that machine just might be a that camo machine. Tank clean out, I think, is a high issue. The other issue we're working with, you know, Dr. Hager with U of I and stuff is we're talking about the inversion. We're getting a better, we're trying to get a better handle what causes that. You know, is that a timing issue? Is maybe, you know, guys were trying to, maybe there might guys be trying to spray early in the morning or later. We're working with the chemical companies of saying, what do we know when inversion's going to happen? Or what symptoms, or what do guys need to lead, retailers and farmers, how to see if there might be a inversion case out there? You know, I don't know for sure, but it may be like, if there's a dew early in the morning, hey, you might need to get out of that sprayer, walk it first. If, you know, if there's dew, maybe that's not the right time to spray. Or, you know, I know in Missouri, they put in there nothing past 5 o'clock at night. We need to talk about that. Now, that's just, that's what happened in Missouri. There's been talks about that in Illinois, just kind of casual conversations. But I think we're going to have to do even more looking at this of how do we get the right product down.
Of course, we know that the EPA gave us a 2-year registration for the product. They're going to, as I had Aaron Hager on, they'll look at how many complaints there were, what kind of damage there was going forward. Is there enough out there? Because he said their definition really doesn't give us any defining number as to what they're going to look at. From your organization's perspective, is if it's not renewed in 2 years, what's that do to the industry?
I think it'd be tough on this. I'm fully, like, there might be some other stuff we have to teach guys how to use the product. But I do think we have to have this tool in the toolbox. There might have to be some other issues that we have to work with the label. But I think we have to have this in the toolbox. And that's the most thing we've heard. Even guys that have concerns with Dicamba, the first comment they will make is, we still have to have this. We might have to treat it differently. There might have to be some other stuff with it. But there's very few guys that say, Dicamba just cannot be around. We cannot have this technology. We get that we hardly ever get that. I think this is where we have to educate our guys, say, and that's what we're going to really work on at our convention in January, but also talk about at Maggie, is how do we go forward? What did we learn from this season? What did we learn? I think the other issue that's out there, heat's playing into it. The hotter it gets, you know, guys have always said, my father said, well, we've always sprayed Dicamba in corn. We never had some of these issues before. And I'm like, we sprayed corn middle of May. It's not 95 degrees, too. And I think that plays into it. So that's some of these issues we need to – what did we learn from this year? What do we have to move forward with? Because, again, you hit it on the head, Roger. This is a 2-year label. If there's another – I don't say this was a disaster. That's not it. But if there's another bad incident next year – they can pull the label. They can pull it right now. When they authorized it, it was a 2-year label and said, we will justify if we're going to move forward with this. So we have to show that we are a steward of this product.
Well, now the next question is like, for example, I understand Arkansas has banned it. Even though if the U.S. EPA were to approve it, can states, or specifically here in Illinois, could they say, no, we're just not going to allow it to be used here in Illinois?
They could. EPA has still final say. So if EPA says we're pulling it, it's pulled from every place. Illinois could pull it. Talking with the Department of Ag, I don't get the instant that they're in that boat of saying we're going to pull it at any means. But yes, could they pull it? They could do exactly an Arkansas or Missouri, or come up with a whole different way of, well, we're not going to let you spray. You know, they could set a date, say nothing after July 1 or July 15th or something like that, or nothing on double crop beans. But yes, they could pull everything off.
And of course, the other thing is, and I don't know if there was much of it used close to or near urban areas, but it's not just the soybeans that are getting damaged, and it's not just Dicamba that the complaints are filed, but a little concern I know from Dr. Hager there again of, of, you know, the more populous regions, if you everybody was using it, you could have a lot of volatility.
Exactly. And that's where we, I push, I farm in the Champaign County area. You know, we have some stuff up against some of the suburban areas. We made a conscious decision. That's not the product we're going to use there. We had dicamba beans, but we're not going to use the product there. You really need to know where you're using the product at. So, yes, the good thing, what I've at least seen from the department, we haven't heard a bunch of urban stuff that some bushes got, you know, nicked, or Aunt Alice's tomatoes got dinged or something like that as of right now. But it's mostly been, hey, I had Liberty beans next to dicamba beans, and they're showing systems of dicamba damage. That's what I've seen mostly. Now, we are going to have a conversation probably at our Maggie show here in August with Department Ag and say, what are you seeing? Okay, well, you've seen dicamba, you know, you're saying you're having this many complaints on dicamba or dicamba alleged damage. How many are those on beans? How many are shrubbery, stuff like that, too?
So I guess in, the other thing that I know kind of Aaron Hager said there again, and I think some of the stories I've read, for example, in Iowa, not many complaints have been formally made there, that, you know, if you're a producer that got some beans dinged by it, try to work with whoever you think might have applied the dicamba and work it out together, because there again, formal complaints are going to be, quote, so to speak, on the record.
Exactly right. What I do tell people, if you sprayed it, you know, have a chemical manufacturer there, or if you had a retailer spray it, talk to the retailer. But I know a lot of the retailers are saying, hey, we're not going to walk a field unless the chemical manufacturer is with us, so we're all on the same page of what this is. But yes, report it, talk to your retailer or whoever you bought the product from, and have a conversation. You know, I'm on the board of a national program called Field Watch, and it talks about, you know, drift, stuff like that, and, you know, where sensitive areas are at. And we've had this conversation for quite a few years, but Field Watch is even being more important because, you know, I know we're farming more acres, but we don't know every neighbor that we used to. You know, we had a conscious decision on our farm that, hey, we're going to go talk to every neighbor and say, what is that field next to this one? What is it? And now, we didn't spray dicamba on everything, but we need to have a conscious decision where our neighbors are at. And you need to have a conversation with those neighbors. What is going on?
And that's a good point I just wanted to touch on, too. They developed a flagging system,
yes,
to put in there. I'm sure you're familiar with it. For people who aren't, tell me what that means.
So it's a program that started, I think, in Mississippi, and our president, Gene Payne, thought it was a good idea and got some of these flags, and it's just called Flag the Technology. So if you are a Liberty Link, non-GMO, Roundup Ready Tune thing, you could get a flag and put it at your field entrance. Now, there's different colors. Now, we just had kept one color, but in the South, they had different colors for what it might be, non-GMO, Enlist, stuff like that. And we kind of pushed that, and we had a good success. We had quite a few flags. But just saying, if you want to mark your technology, so a retailer or a farmer next to you say, what is that? They know that it's a specialty crop. So if there's people that have still interest in that, I know it's kind of late for this year, but going next year, we're going to keep moving that program forward with IFCA. But also, I really recommend guys going to Field Watch and looking at it, especially if they have a non-GMO or sensitive crop. They can mark that. And what our retailers see in the cab of their machinery is that if they're part of the Field Watch app, that's getting pushed to them and say, hey, you're within a half mile of a sensitive crop. You really need to know where you're at. You always need to know where you're at, but you really need to know where you are at. Especially, you know, we're working, especially in the southern part of Illinois. Vineyards, we very much have to watch where we're at on that. So we are working with the Illinois Grape and Wine Growers Association to say, have your guys mark. There's over 433 vineyards and wineries in the state of Illinois. There's a lot more than we think, and those guys are very sensitive to some of this technology that are out there. We really have to watch. So it's going back to know who your neighbors are. I know we might think we're in the back 40, know where anybody knows where we're at, but there's always people. There's always sensitive crops out there.
Two final questions and thoughts. Number one, whether it's the producer himself, or in the case of retailers, the liability issue. And, you know, like a retailer, I mean, if you get, I know they try to do best, but Mother Nature can be very fickle. Are they pretty much covered? Are they able to be covered by liabilities?
Most of our guys are covered by Nationwide Insurance. All our guys are covered. But same thing with your farm. Like on my farm, your crop insurance is not going to cover this. It is your whole farm insurance is going to cover that. So that's why I tell people, you have to, I know it doesn't sound like you need to do this, but you need, there's going to be, I think, a wake-up call. The guys that didn't have whole farm insurance to cover some stuff, there'll probably be some dings this winter that people are saying. But yes, they are covered. What we're telling our retailers is, you know, file the formal complaint, and they're talking with their insurance people on that. So.
And the last question, and again, I refer back to, for example, Aaron Hager, whom you say you talk with just about daily. And I, this is a tough question to ask you in some respects, for, because I know that they're a big supporters and members and spend a lot of money to be a member of the Fertilizer and Chemical Association. Do the manufacturers, do the companies, the three, did they do, have they done a good job in working with the people who sprayed it as well as those who have had injury?
I think they've done what they need to do on the education stuff. Can we always say we can do more? Yes, we can always do more. We could probably said we need to do more with this. I think they are looking at it right now and say, what are the problems that we had? Were we wrong on stuff? Are we having more vaporization? Or do we need to do something different on tips? Or what education do we have to do? So I think they're doing the best they can right now at stuff. I don't think everybody's got the answer right now why some of this stuff is actually moving, to be honest.
And again, KJ Johnson with the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Dealers Association. So again, it's going to be a big topic, I'm sure, talked about for the next few months at least. With that, we wrap up today's Future.